Earlier this week, folk rock star Neil Young wrote a letter to Spotify asking the company to remove his music from its streaming service.
He says, "I am doing this because Spotify is spreading fake information about vaccines, potentially causing death to those who believe the disinformation being spread by them."
That's our colleague Ann Steele reading from Neil Young's letter. The person Young was accusing of spreading misinformation is a podcaster, Joe Rogan. Rogan hosts one of the most popular podcasts in the U.S., and his show is exclusively available on Spotify. Spotify is the parent company of Gimlet, which co-produces our show.
And so Neil Young says, Spotify can have Joe Rogan, or they can have Neil Young.
He threw down the gauntlet.
Yes.
But Spotify chose Joe Rogan. Days later, Neil Young's catalog, with songs like Heart of Gold and Harvest Moon, had been taken down. And this situation has sparked a debate over Spotify's responsibility to moderate misinformation on its platform.
As Spotify has expanded into podcasting, they've become less of this, you know, pure play tech company and become more like a media company. And as we see with other media companies, they end up being held responsible for the content that they're not only distributing, but helping create and promote.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Friday, January 28th. Coming up on the show, Neil Young, Joe Rogan, and Spotify's balancing act over controversial content.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Spotify was founded in 2006 in Sweden. Back then, the music industry was struggling, and Spotify pioneered a new business model, music streaming. But recently, the company started to look beyond music.
Music is a tough business to be in for Spotify. It pays about 70% of its revenue out to rights holders, so labels, publishers, artists, songwriters. It just makes the margins really, really tough. And so Spotify sees podcasting as a way to sort of diversify where its revenue is coming from and eventually help out its margins.
Help it be more profitable.
Yes, and help it be more profitable.
To expand beyond music, Spotify's first step was to open its platform to podcasts so people could stream podcasts the same way they stream music. Then, Spotify decided to go deeper into podcasting.
So this kicked off in a big way in early 2019 when Spotify snaps up Gimlet and Anchor. So two podcast companies that kind of jumpstart and serve as the basis for Spotify's serious commitment to podcasting. That was followed by more acquisitions for another content company called Parcast, and then Bill Simmons, The Ringer.
What kind of money are they spending on these investments?
They have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on companies and talent to build out their podcasting.
After buying up a bunch of companies, Spotify started signing up individual podcasters. The company would pay them to make their hit shows Spotify exclusives, available only on the streaming platform.
So that strategy is to sort of jumpstart listening to podcasts on their platform. Historically, podcasts have been made available broadly all over the place across Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and multiple platforms, Spotify decided, hey, we're going to cut some deals and bring some top talent exclusively to Spotify. So these people who are avid podcast listeners have to come to Spotify to listen to their favorite podcast.
Who does Spotify sign to really kick this into motion?
Spotify cuts a couple exclusive deals. The biggest one, though, comes with Joe Rogan. And Spotify shells out at least $100 million to get Joe Rogan to come to its service exclusively.
Joe Rogan Podcast, check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
So he's a stand-up comedian. He's an MMA commentator, and he's this very high-profile podcaster. He had his show on YouTube where you could actually see himself and his guest throughout the entire show, typically.
Rogan had on all kinds of big-name guests, from entertainers to politicians to businessmen. People like Elon Musk, who famously smoked weed on the show.
Yeah, I think I tried one once.
Come on, man. You, you probably can't because stockholders, right?
I mean, it's legal, right?
It's totally legal.
Okay.
And comedian Russell Brand.
Yes. Russell, why is it that when people start getting like super spiritual, they start dressing like you? You dress like a guru.
We circulate a memo saying it's now time to stop wearing socks, stop shaving, and make eye contact for a bit too long.
And there's one key hallmark of Rogan's show.
He does not shy away from controversial topics. And a challenging thing about Joe Rogan is that it's actually pretty hard to describe him. People try to say he's libertarian or he's conservative, but he really isn't. He showcases lots of different viewpoints on his podcast.
When Spotify signs Rogan on, did they say anything about how controversial he is?
At the time, Spotify did not say anything about how controversial Joe Rogan has been. I think they were really, really excited about this deal. It was a good get for them. The investors seemed to agree and sort of take this as a sign that Spotify is really serious and putting their money where their mouth is when it comes to a podcasting strategy. There was the question hanging in the air of, you know, now does this make Spotify responsible for what Joe Rogan says or presents on his podcast?
That question would come up for Spotify almost immediately when Rogan interviewed a guest named Abigail Schreier.
She's an author and a journalist, and some of her opinions are criticized by some as being anti-transgender.
Schreier has also written for the Wall Street Journal's opinion section. Schreier was on Rogan's show to talk about her new book, titled Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters.
This issue is that I'm talking about is just about the health of teenage girls. That's it. So why can't we talk about what's going on with these teenage girls? Why can't we try to get them some help?
I agree with you, but yeah. We're in 2020. Yeah. People are going bonkers.
In the interview, Schreier said gender transition treatments are dangerous for young people.
There's pretty immediate backlash, and often when Joe Rogan has any sort of a controversial guest, you'll see things bubble up on Twitter and social media, and people voice their disdain or opinions. But what was different about this was that it actually came up internally. There were employees of Spotify, you know, who in a town hall style meeting expressed concern over material in the podcast that they felt was anti-transgender.
Spotify left the episode up. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal at the time, CEO Daniel Ek said the most important thing for the company is to have very clear policies in place. And quote, it doesn't matter if you're Joe Rogan or anyone else. We do apply those policies, and they need to be evenly applied. Not long after the controversy over Schreier, Rogan was back in the hot seat. This time, over a discussion on his show about COVID and vaccines.
Around about, you know, April 2021, when the vaccines are rolling out in a big way, he goes on his podcast and says that, you know, if you're young and healthy, you might not need to have the COVID vaccine.
If you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I go, no.
Yeah.
Are you healthy? Are you a healthy person? Like, look, don't do anything stupid, but you should take care of yourself.
Rogan's comments got so much attention that Dr. Anthony Fauci addressed them on the Today Show.
You're talking about yourself in a vacuum then. You're worried about yourself getting infected and likelihood that you're not going to get any symptoms. But even if you don't have any symptoms, you're propagating the outbreak because it is likely.
A few days later, Joe Rogan seeks to sort of clarify those comments because there was a lot of backlash. And, you know, he comes out and says, I'm not anti-vaccine. I've encouraged a lot of people to take them. And then he also acknowledges that the argument that young and healthy people should think about others who are at risk actually makes sense. So he doesn't fully walk back his comments, but he does acknowledge some of the arguments and criticisms from the scientific community.
Again, Spotify left the episode up on its platform. Then Rogan himself got COVID.
This isn't on his podcast, but he goes on his Instagram page and posts a video in which he says he's tested positive for COVID, sort of explains his symptoms and how he's feeling and that type of thing.
So I got back from the road Saturday night, feeling very weary. I had a headache and I just felt just run down.
And he lists sort of the treatment he's been undergoing, you know, says he took several medications, including ivermectin.
So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it. All kinds of meds, monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, Z-Pak, prednisone, everything.
Ivermectin is a drug used to treat parasitic worms. Last year, misinformation was spreading online, saying that ivermectin was an effective treatment for COVID. The CDC issued a warning that misusing ivermectin could cause severe illness.
What was the reaction to him saying he'd taken ivermectin?
So him saying that he took ivermectin was really triggering. He had lots of people who they themselves had taken it or thought they should take it if they got COVID, but a lot of backlash from people who thought that him saying that he had took this was dangerous because federal health regulators have warned against the unauthorized use of ivermectin as a treatment for COVID-19.
Has Spotify ever addressed this concern that Rogan is spreading misinformation about COVID?
No, they have not commented. None of the episodes that have been questioned by critics have been removed from the service.
Then, at the end of December, Rogan ignited a new fight. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
What does it mean to be rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. At Edward Jones, our dedicated financial advisors are the people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
In Rogan's final episode of 2021, he interviewed a scientist named Robert Malone. Malone has conducted research on mRNA vaccines, but is now critical of their use, especially in children. His views have been widely criticized by the scientific community.
What are some of the claims that Malone made in his interview with Rogan?
So a lot of touchy subjects come up in this long interview, and Dr. Malone is really careful throughout the episode about the way he discusses things. But he does discuss, you know, this suggestion that hospitals have been financially motivated to falsely diagnose deaths as having been caused by COVID-19. Right before the interview comes out, Dr. Robert Malone is banned from Twitter. And then Joe Rogan gives him this giant platform on the Joe Rogan podcast. And the episode goes viral. Tons of people are listening to it. It's raising a lot of questions. And there is a pretty big backlash from people who say that giving someone like Dr. Robert Malone a platform wasn't a good call and is dangerous.
YouTube took down the interview. Malone's appearance also prompted an open letter signed by 270 people, many of them members of the scientific community. They accused Rogan of promoting conspiracy theories and said Rogan's interviews are, quote, mass misinformation events, and asked Spotify to take action.
Does Spotify or Rogan respond to this?
No, they don't.
But then somebody else does.
Neil Young comes along and says, you know, I can't be on the same platform as Joe Rogan. So he writes this letter, posts it openly. The letter is addressed to his label and management and says, please remove my music quickly.
After a request from Young's label, Spotify removed his music from its platform.
How unusual is it for artists to threaten to pull their music because of other content on the Spotify platform?
I can't think of any other example like this. This is pretty unprecedented.
What will this mean for Neil Young financially to have his music off of Spotify?
Neil Young gave us a little glimpse into this himself. He put up a couple new posts on his website, and he says a couple times that it's going to be a hit for him and his label and investors in his music. He says that by taking his music off of Spotify, he's losing 60% of his worldwide streaming income.
Rogan didn't respond to a request for comment. As for Spotify,
Spotify, as soon as the music starts coming down, finally comes out and speaks on this for the first time. And in a statement, they reiterate that they want all the world's music and audio content to be available on Spotify. They say again that that comes with great responsibility in balancing both safety for listeners and freedom for creators. So they point to their detailed content policies that they have in place. And they also highlight that they've removed over 20,000 COVID-19 related podcast episodes since the start of the pandemic. So they point to this information and they say, we regret Neil's decision to remove his music from Spotify, but hope to welcome him back soon.
And what does that say about where Spotify is right now?
This is a balancing act for Spotify. There's a lot of stakeholders. There's a lot of interested parties. And this is not going to go away. They have put their bet on Joe Rogan and on podcasting. That's introduced these challenges. And those don't appear to be going away anytime soon.
And they're not the first platform to find themselves in this situation where you think you're just connecting people on a social media platform, but then suddenly you're having to make content decisions.
Yes. And so throughout the pandemic, we've seen a lot of the social media companies deal with this and introduce new policies and punish different users who violate those policies. Everyone from fringe doctors who have some clout to the former president of the United States. So while we've seen some of these social media companies take a stand, Spotify appears to be standing by its creators and keeping the content up.
That's all for today, Friday, January 28th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Your hosts are Ryan Knutson and me, Kate Linebaugh. The show is produced by Annie Baxter, Catherine Brewer, Pia Gadkari, Rachel Humphreys, Brendan Klinkenberg, Matt Kwong, Annie Minoff, Laura Morris, Afif Nasuli, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, Sarah Platt, Alan Rodriguez Espinosa, Willa Rubin, Kayla Stokes, and Annie Rose Strasser, with help from Marilyn Fletcher. Our engineers are Griffin Tanner and Nathan Singapak, with help from Emma Munger. Our music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Peter Leonard, Billy Libby, Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, and Blue Dot Sessions. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasulka. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.